Hi, I'm Ray with another podcast episode. Do you remember the expression or the saying, make do and mend? The first time I heard that would have been the 1960s, probably early 60s. My old nan, she was pulling a cardigan to bits. It was a woolen cardigan, and she's unravelling all the wool. And, you know, we went round to see her, mum and dad and brothers, sisters, and I said to her, what are you doing? And she said, well, this cardigan's too big for me. It's far too big. She'd lost some weight, and it was far too big. She'd lost a lot of weight. So I said, well, why not buy a new one? And I remember this like it was yesterday. And she said, well, buy a new one. Well, why do that? I said, well, because this one's too big. And I said, why are you taking it to bits? Throw it away or give it to a jumble sale and buy a new one. She said, this did come from a jumble sale. I said, well, why are you pulling it to bits? She said, no, what you do is you unravel all the wool, and she was rolling up into a ball, unravelling it all. The cardigan was fast disappearing, and she was winding it into a ball. She said, look, I've got a new ball of wool. So I sort of said, oh, OK, and I thought it all rather odd. I just couldn't understand why she didn't go and buy another cardigan. A few weeks later, I forget exactly when, we went to see her, and I said, how's that cardigan? And she said, well, look, I'm wearing it. And she was wearing this lovely cardigan. She knitted it from the wool that she'd pulled from this old cardigan that was too big. And it looked like new. I remember saying to her, that looks like a new cardigan. She said, well, it is. The wool's old, but it's new. And I was amazed. And she was explaining to me that, especially during the war years, you know, you didn't throw anything away. You made do and mended whatever you could. Didn't throw anything away, even old clothes. And she went on to say that during the war years, she went to a friend's wedding and she didn't have a dress to wear. So what did she do? I remember laughing at the time, but it's quite amazing. She had this old pair of curtains. I know it sounds funny. This old pair of curtains. I don't know what the material was. She did tell me, but I can't remember. And she made a dress, a complete dress out of this pair of curtains. Obviously, it wasn't thick velvet material or anything like that, or, you know, kitchen curtains, gingham or anything. It was obviously some nice material. And she made a dress, and she showed me a photograph of her in this dress. It's black and white, of course, and it looked lovely. It wasn't a particularly clear photo, but it looked absolutely lovely. And again, I thought, well, that's amazing. You know, why go and buy a new dress? But it sounds funny, doesn't it? Oh, I made a dress to wear to a wedding out of an old pair of curtains. I remember my grandfather, wooden gates at the front of the, you know, the driveway at the front onto the pavement, and they were rotting. The wood was rotting, and he was using wood filler. Now, he'd used wood filler on these gates for decades. I mean, they were really old. Even back in the 60s, they probably went back to the 30s. They were that old, probably original with the house. And they were rotting. And he was always patching up these gates with wood filler and then painting over it all. And in the end, they looked pretty bad. I mean, you could see that they'd all been badly patched up. So what he started to do then was, which he should have done in the first place, cut out bits of wood, the rotten wood, and fit in new pieces and then paint that. That looked a lot better than the filler. And he went on doing this until he passed away. And I remember those gates, they were there, well, all my life they were there, and they're always having new bits of wood put in. Now, it wasn't that they didn't have any money, it was just that I think they had grown up with this make, do and mend idea. Why buy a new pair of gates when you could repair the old gates? It's the same with the radios. I restore vintage valve radios from the 1940s, and people say to me, can you get this going? It was my dad's, or it was my old grand's. Can you get it going? And yes, I can. You know, 9 times out of 10, I can get them going. I've got old scrap radios I use for parts, and I've got valves, capacitors, all the bits and pieces, mostly second-hand. Well, not the capacitors. All the valves are mostly second-hand, but they're good. And again, it's make, do and mend, isn't it? Get the old 1940s radio working rather than throw it up the tip. And, you know, then go and buy some horrible new plastic transistor radio that sounds dreadful. I'm sometimes asked whether I can repair some of this modern stuff, and sadly, I can't. You know, if you take it to bits, if you can get it to bits, very often the cabinets are glued together, if you can get the thing apart. There's nothing you can do inside. There aren't any parts you can replace. It's just one sort of module, and they just have to go up the tip. It's a throwaway era, isn't it? We live in a throwaway era, which is such a shame. So many things you can't repair. I think I remember mentioning in one of my podcasts, was it about repairing things in the past? Toasters, you used to be able to buy these separate elements and the thermostat and all the bits and pieces. So if your toaster goes wrong, you can either take it into your local electrical shop to be repaired or repair it yourself if you know how to. But those days sadly have gone. I don't think you can get parts for any of these modern appliances anymore. I mean, your washing machine, you probably get a heater element, a water inlet valve, that sort of thing. But the smaller appliances, well, kettles, you can't repair a kettle. You won't get the element anywhere. They're all sort of sealed plastic things, these kettles. You can't get inside them. And to be honest, it's cheaper to throw the thing away and buy a new one than try and get it repaired anywhere, which is such a shame. But of course, a lot of these kettles are plastic, so you're throwing plastic away, which is adding to all the problem with the plastic in the seas and everywhere else. So it is a shame. It's a shame we can't go back. I suppose it's progress. Well, that's what they call it, isn't it? That was the podcast idea, wasn't it? That's progress for you or something. But going back to my old Nan, bless her, I remember once she had remember these old white pudding bowls? They used to have dripping in them and lard and other disgusting things in these old pudding bowls. I think that's what they were called. And the glaze was always cracked, wasn't it? Thousands of little cracks. I remember she had this bowl and she dropped it and it had broken in half, you know, split clean in half. And she was gluing it together. And I said to her, you know, why are you gluing that together? It won't work. She said, well, I've done this before with other things. She glued it together. I forget the glue she was using. And she glued it together and carried on using it. I mean, she didn't put it in the oven or anything like that. But it was used just for pouring in this molten dripping and other filthy things. But imagine doing that these days. If you had a cup or a bowl and you break it, you glue it together. I mean, it's straight in the bin and go and buy a new one. It just shows how very different things were back in those days. I remember an old motor mechanic saying to me that if they had a car into the garage for repair that had frozen, you know, the water had frozen and actually cracked the block, you know, the cast iron block, cracked it where the water had frozen inside and just split the cast iron block. And he said what they would do is drill a hole at the beginning of the crack, okay, drill a hole, tap it, and then put a bit of rod into it, threaded rod into it, and then fire that all off, you know, grind that down so it's flush, drill another hole which overlapped that first bit of rod you'd put in, do the same thing, and you would stitch all the way along the crack in the engine block. He called it stitching all the way along. So each new bit of rod you screw into the hole you've just made, it overlaps the other one. Can you imagine a garage doing that these days? He said it took hours. You know, they want thousands of pounds to do that. Well, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't know how. That's the thing. They wouldn't even know how to do it. And he told me of many repairs they would do on cars that these days you wouldn't dream of doing. You just, if the block split these days, you chuck the whole engine away and stick a new one in there. Going back to clothing again, if there was a pair of trousers, they really were too far gone, you'd probably cut out bits of material that might make patches for other items of clothing in the future. But you'd perhaps also remove the zip. Why throw away a decent zip? You know, unstitch it all, take the zip out, and that can be used for something else. Also, my nan was telling me, save the buttons. Everyone had a button box. Anything that you did throw away that was far too gone to do anything with, like a shirt, you take the buttons off and keep the buttons. Talking of shirts, if the collar wore around the neck, you know how they wear out, they wear thin. What they did, they took the collar off, unstitched it all, took the collar off, turned it inside out and sewed it back on. And the same with the cuffs. You know, you could do all sorts of things like that to repair a shirt. In fact, some of the old shirts, they had removable cuffs and collars. I mean, I don't remember that. I'm not that old, good grief. But I do remember my old nan telling me about them, how you could just buy a new collar and cuffs if the shirt was all right. But imagine these days, unstitching the collar from a shirt, turning it inside out and sewing it back on. I mean, it just goes in the bin, doesn't it? And you go and buy a new shirt. I heard on the television some time ago about the amount of clothing that is bought and then just thrown away, some of it without even being worn. A lot of it just being worn once. You might buy a new top or a dress or whatever, a skirt, wear it the once, and then, no, I don't want that anymore, chuck it out. And they reckon that millions of pounds worth of clothing is thrown away every year, and a lot of it only worn once or brand new. I've been to car boot sales, and I found a decent jacket, a really nice jacket, for something like £2 or £3. Nothing wrong with the jacket at all. Perfectly good. Perhaps it just doesn't fit the person anymore, or they got fed up with it. And I've bought several jackets like that. And I've seen women going through clothes racks. Some of the clothes there, you might find a dress. I've seen this many times. You might find a dress. £2. And there's a label on it. It's brand new, never been worn. There's the original shop's label on it. I mean, it's incredible, the stuff that people just buy and then don't use. It's such a waste. If you look in some of these charity shops, a lot of them have got the new tags on. They're a bit more expensive in the charity shops, of course, but that's okay. You might find a jacket in there for perhaps £10 with a new tag, the shop's tag. So never been worn. It's just incredible. I have nothing against buying second-hand stuff. I'm not. I can afford to buy new clothes, yes. And I do. Trousers, shirts, things like that, I will. But jackets, I'm talking about not suit jackets or anything like that, blazers. But I bought a nice corduroy-type jacket. Remember needle cord? Thin cord like that. £7. Absolutely perfect. The zip works. No holes in the pockets. No money in the pockets. I think they check the pockets in case there are any £20 notes. Never found any money in the pockets. But all sorts of things like that from boot sales, charity shops. I don't think they have jumble sales anymore, do they? I don't know. Schools used to do jumble sales, didn't they? The Scouts, Girl Guides, they did jumble sales. Don't hear of any anymore. Probably all been taken over now by boot sales and online auctions. Nothing to do with make do and mend, really, but look at the amount of food that's thrown away these days. Nothing was thrown away like that decades ago. If you had some bread left over that was going stale, you'd use that to make breadcrumbs. These days, people go and buy packets of breadcrumbs. Well, you can make your own. You've got a bit of bread that's going stale, just use that. Just get a grater and use that. Anything that was beginning to go off in the old days was used for something. You'd cook it, you'd make a pie or a stew or something. If the carrots were going a bit soft, you'd chuck them in a stew. So many things were used up and very, very little waste. These days, all this nonsense about sell-by dates. If something says you've got to consume it by today and you're not going to consume it, it goes in the bin. I mean, what a waste. A lot of it's perfectly all right. I think I said in one of the other podcasts about cheese. Back in the old days, if it was going green and mouldy on the outside, you just slice the outside off, and inside you've got perfectly good cheese. I mean, these days people would look at it, I'm not having that, and put it in the bin. So again, waste. Look at the waste, though. Look at the landfill stuff, and oh dear, look at people's recycling bins, or at least now things are being recycled. Furniture would be repaired in the old days. If a chair leg broke or the back of a chair broke, it would be repaired. And if it was beyond repair, it would be used as firewood, chop it up as kindling wood, something like that. But in the main, all these things could be repaired. People had, I don't think it was so much the skill, but it was just the way people grew up. They were able to repair things. They had the knowledge, I suppose, from their fathers and their fathers and mothers, and it was all passed down. If a chair leg broke, you knew how to repair it. You'd use wood glue and you'd use screws and repair the chair leg and get another sort of 20 or 30 years life out of the chair. And of course, you'd make your own glue. Was it fish glue or something disgusting? I remember, was it an old uncle or whoever it was stirring up this metal pot on a gas cooker, making, I think it was fish glue, absolutely stunk the house out. And you could make glue out of, was it flour and water? Yeah, that's it. Flour and water, I believe it was. You could make glue, use it as wallpaper paste. Also, I think back in those days, everyone knew someone, a tradesman, a plumber, an electrician. You know, they knew someone, a builder, a woodworking chap, a carpenter. They knew someone that could do something. So if you couldn't do anything yourself, not everyone can, then you knew someone that could, you know, a neighbour or someone across the road. They would do it for you. Not for money all the time. That's how it worked, wasn't it? You know, you repair his chair because you're a carpenter, and he'd sort out your plumbing for you because he's a plumber. And there were a lot of people. Everyone knew someone. Whatever you wanted doing, even I remember this back in my teens. You wanted a bit of welding done on your car, and someone would say, "Oh yeah, I know a chap. I know old Fred. He'll do that for you. Old Fred the welder." Or you wanted a roof tile replaced. "Oh yeah, old John will do that. John the roofer. He'll sort that out for you. Just buy him a beer." That's how it was. It was great. And I think that, to an extent, quite an extent, has gone these days. A lot of this took place in pubs. You know, you get everyone in the pub. There'd be the plumber, the electrician, the greengrocer, the butcher, the roofer. Everyone's in there. The landscape gardener, the upholsterer, the curtain maker, the painter and decorator. Whatever you wanted doing, there was someone in the pub that could do it for you. And of course, now a lot of the pubs, well, most of the pubs have gone. These meeting places that were so brilliant in the old days, they've gone. A lot of the pubs now are, well, they're not pubs, are they? They're restaurants with a bar. And if you stand at the bar, you sort of look out of the place. You're, "What are you doing here?" "Well, I'm just having a drink." "Well, aren't you going to eat something? You know, what do you think this is, a pub?" "Well, actually, yes, I thought it was." There we are. Happy days, as my old mate Les used to say. Hope you've enjoyed this one. Bit more food for thought. Back to the old days and how things were. Perhaps now, before you chuck something in the bin, perhaps a jumper or a shirt or a T-shirt that you no longer want, perhaps you might think, "Hang on a minute. Can I cut that T-shirt up and make a cloth out of it? Make a handkerchief out of it?" Or a little bit of material to clean your glasses. Yeah, perhaps you might think of that before you put something else in the dustbin. Thanks for listening, as always. I shall see you next Sunday. Bye-bye for now.